Good morning. Isn't it beautiful outside? You know, we know snow's coming, but we can still enjoy the beautiful sunshine. And I enjoy the snow, and I'll leave soon afterwards so you won't flog me. But anyway, it's so good to this morning to have Derek and Julie and their family with us, and their handsome little boy. You know, back, I want to say this about my bishop. Somebody asked me how it felt to be married to an old man. I guess the same thing it feels when you're married to an old woman, huh? But my thing is this, you're as old as you feel. And as long as you have little kids running around, somehow or other, they just kind of make you feel younger. So, I've got something so funny. This morning I heard a bump. Then I heard a scrape. Then I heard another bump. Then I heard the doorknob turn. And I thought, okay, which one is it? And in walked little Cole. And in one hand, he had a pink fishing pole. And in the other hand, he had his fishing pole. And I have never in my life seen so many knots and so many. I don't know how Papa's going to get that untangled. But he looked at me so sweet and he said, Grams, he said, I don't know how this got so tangled up. He said, but, you know, I was throwing them both with the same time, and I think they kind of, whatever, he said. Anyway, doing things like that, they keep your mind working, and I'm sure this is that way with Julie and Derek. You've got two little boys, but trust me, they're not going to be the same. One's going to think of some things, and the other one's going to think of some more. And what one doesn't think of, the other one will think of. So, anyway, it's just a blessing to have kids around. So, if Derek and Julie will stand. They are going to be dedicating Thaddeus Joel Buchholz this morning. And he's a handsome little guy. He looks a little bit like his big brother, but at the same time, he looks like his little self. So we're so glad to have all your family with us. And God bless you. We love you both. Brother Grant.
Praise God. And praise the Lord, everyone. All right. Sister Grant is making reference to age. See, I've always wondered how old would I be if I didn't know how old I am. You know, you just had to pick an age and just be that. I don't feel 75. I know that I've had some health problems, but at the same time, 75 always sounded old. But we got several people here in the congregation that's 75 plus, that's in very good health, very spry, and they get around, go to the shopping malls and different places. And I go to the shopping malls, but I sit in the car while Sister Grant goes inside. Go to the grocery store, but I sit inside while Sister Grant goes inside. Go to Farm and Fleet, and I go inside because they got a lot of good carts in there. So travel around. Go to Target, they've got good carts there. So I know who has good carts and who doesn't have carts at all. Occasionally I go to Hobby Lobby with my wife. They have wheelchairs. Now, I don't like the wheelchairs. I do feel a little bit older in the wheelchair than I do in the cart, but I go when I really want to see something. And Sister Grant was talking about Cole. Well, I stayed home yesterday while Sister Grant and Lana and Lois and Ava, they all went to the craft sales. And so I stayed home and prayed and sought the Lord for today. Roy and I went out for lunch. And then Cole comes in with his dad. He walks in there and he looks around. He says, "I thought it was your birthday." I said, "Now he's 4 years old." I said, "It is." He says, "Well, where are all the balloons?" And I said, I don't have any balloons. He says, "Where are the decorations?" He said, "Could I get them out and decorate?" And then he said, "Where are all the gifts?" Well, what I did was I kind of hung my head and acted sad because I wondered what he would do. I said, "Cole, I didn't get any gifts." He says, "I tell you what I want to do, Grandpa. I'm going to go over to my house, and I'm going to get one that I don't want." He said, "And it can be your toy forever." Forever, he said. Well, he went over and he stayed and he stayed. And when he came back, he had a picture drawn. He said, "I decided I wanted to draw you a picture." So he said, "These are the clouds and this is the sun and here's the green grass." Then there was a pole there. And I said, "What's this?" He said, "It's you." I haven't resembled a pole since I was 15. But I'm glad he sees me that way. I said, "Well, what is this on top?" He said, "Oh, that's a hood." He said, "It's raining. See this rain coming down?" I said, "You put this hood on." So, you know, that was quite a birthday gift, actually. And Sister Grant then took me out for supper last night. We had such a great time. Sister Grant and I have been married 56 years. As you well know, what happens, we celebrate our wedding anniversary 1 week. Now, next week, we celebrate my birthday. I don't know why we didn't get married right on my birthday, but I guess we just couldn't wait. You know? Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you, praise God, praise God. After 56 years, Sister Grant's still my sweetheart. If I had it to do all over again, with all of the beautiful ladies in the world, I'd still pick Leona Darlene Smith Grant to be my bride. Yes. I don't think she's in here, is she? Right, okay. Well, some of you ladies will have to tell her. You know, there's one thing I found out. There's certain things that ladies love to hate. And what happens every now and then, I'll say something about my wife that can be taken one or two ways. And the ladies always take it on the bad side. And they run out and tell her. So as soon as service is over, and I see her, she says, "What did you say about me this morning?" And if I don't say anything for a while, then some of the ladies will come up and say, "You haven't said anything about Sister Grant in a while. What's wrong?" And I know it's because ladies just love to hate certain things. Yeah. I better not tell that, though. So we want to go into this dedication. Derek and Julie came into our church. Derek came over here for schooling, and I think Julie did, too. No, she didn't. That's right. Somehow from Milwaukee, where Derek comes from, that area, She's saying no to everything. No. Derek. His name is Derek. Yours is Julie. Somehow Derek made his way over to Eau Claire and found Julie. And what a sweetheart she is. And Derek and Julie are very talented. They've helped in our music. They've helped in Sunday school with youth work. Derek is presently applying for license with the United Pentecostal Church International. So he will be a minister, an ordained minister in time with the United Pentecostal Church. And certainly I put my blessings on this. And then two young boys. And how far apart are they? 2 years. Now they're going to be up old enough to fight before long. And I remember I had three boys, and I bought a pair of boxing gloves for my boys for Christmas. That's what they wanted, and I should have known better. But what happened was the boys wanted Christmas Day. They wanted to box. Well, we didn't have any snow outside. It was cold. So we went outside, and I put the boxing gloves on them, and I'm the referee. And so John went in, waded right into Roy, and he hit him and broke a tooth. And Roy was always pretty mild-mannered until he got upset. And when he got upset, he was ready to kill John. He got upset. And he ran at him and knocked him down and started beating him in the face. And he broke his tooth. And our young son, Steve, he got so excited, he started jumping up and down. He ran over there and fell on Roy's back and bit him in the head. And Roy jerked back. And Steve broke his tooth. So we had three broken tooths. I took the boxing gloves off of them. I put them up, and they never put them back on after that. I said, when all three of them end up with broken teeth. Now, I'm going to be speaking today on the subject, Let Love Be Your Way of Life. Now, I know that boys, one thing that boys always strive to do, and that's to prove their superiority. And even some of the men can get together, and they're always slapping around on each other, and they're always arm wrestling and trying to throw each other down. And this type thing to see who is the strongest. We get some men that go over to the Prairie Athletic Club and work out regularly. I don't think it's just for their health, but they're trying to build their bodies up to see who's going to be the biggest and strongest. So I still contend that, you know, I'm 75. I could beat Bryce arm wrestling. And these boys, they're always wanting to try their grandpa. And, which the thing about it is, if they beat me, it's no big deal. But if I beat them, which I probably wouldn't. Last time I arm wrestled Bryce was at his wedding, and he let me beat him. And they even took a picture of me beating him. And Carl, when he was in the world, had all these tattoos put on him. He said, when he came back to the Lord, he said, Grandpa, did you ever want to put a tattoo on you? I said, oh, no. Mm-mm. He said, how come? I said, I had on a T-shirt then. I did like this. And I said, now, why would a guy that's got a perfect arm like this, why would he want to mess it up by covering it up? Oh, man. I've had fun with my grandchildren, now my great-grandchildren. But the thing about it is they all love to come over the house. And when they come, they get so loud at times. They're laughing and cutting up. But, you know, that's better than fighting. I've called homes before, and I couldn't even talk to the father or the mother because it was so loud in there. And it was loud because they were fighting. You know, one of these things where the cat's under the bed and the dogs are barking and the kids are they're breaking teeth for sure. Jesus said in Matthew 22:34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Now they ought to have known better than to question the Lord about the scripture. But that's what they did. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, they hinge all the law and the prophets, all the Old Testament. All the Old Testament was determined by two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Now, if this is true, then these are the pivotal scriptures. All are built around these two commandments. So today, let's talk about let love be your way of life. And in your home, let your home be full of love. Build your life around love. Build your home around love. Now, if you do this, all else will be fine. In other words, if you love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and your neighbors yourself, then everything else is going to be fine. We see people having issues all the time. There's a lot of anger and hate in our world. It's amazing. Took a peep at the news this morning, Google News, after I got to church. I think the mayor of Baltimore said this is the worst year for crime, serious crime. Over 300 people have been murdered in Baltimore this year, setting a record. It's a lot of people killed. And a lot of these people are killed by other people who just are angry in their heart. And they don't know why they're angry. They just are. And they go out and find somebody that they can shoot. Of course, then there are others who are angry at certain individuals, and they end up shooting them. But It is necessary then that you teach your children to love and not to hate. When you go on Facebook, I don't know how to go on Facebook, but my wife does. And she's always showing me something. Then I know once I'm on Facebook how to go down the list. Sometimes I will go down the list, and I can't believe some of the negative things that people say about other people. And you want everybody to know how bad you are. It doesn't prove anything other than if you say something negative about someone, it lets everybody, the whole world can read it. It lets everybody know just how bad you are. Not how good you are, but how bad you are. And that seems to be the thing. You know, you just see people all the time with this bad attitude. But occasionally you run across someone that's got some good things to say about somebody. And it's just so nice. So nice. But let me give you a hint. If you see something that you agree with, but it's negative, and you don't know if you should make a comment or not, don't make it. Because you no doubt have some people that really believe in you. And once you make that comment, if they hear preaching like this, they're going to say, oh, they're not living according to the preaching that Pastor Roy has been making or Bishop Grant's been making. You follow what I'm saying? So just leave it off. Have a happy home. Smile a lot. Now, Jesus is our example. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So we should follow in the steps of the Lord. You don't know the people that I have counseled, even some ministers down the way, that were really involved in a legal battle with the law, because somebody did something and they got hurt, and they weren't willing to forgive, and they just went after them. One ordained minister told me, he says, I was trying to reason with him. I said, you're not going to get anywhere doing this, and your church is not going to appreciate what you're doing. And he said, well, it's the principle of the thing. What do you mean the principle? He did me wrong, and he needs to pay. So it's a principle of the thing? Now, how do you establish a principle? Do you establish according to the word of the Lord? And if that is the way that it should be established, then you go to the scripture, and the scripture way is to forgive. Did you know that Jesus Christ was crucified, and he was not guilty at all. But after he was crucified on the cross and after he arose, he walked on the earth 40 days and he preached the gospel, and never one time mentioned any bad thing about the people that he forgave when he was on the cross. So he's our example. Now let's go to Matthew 5. Now some of this is kind of old hat to a lot of you, but I just really feel that we need to go back over some of this. Matthew 5, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in verse 37, "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." You have heard that it had been said, "An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," but I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now this is a tough commandment, especially for men. Somebody hit you, what do you want to do? Hit them back. Yeah. But is that really the Jesus way? No, it isn't. "And if any man will sue thee at the law to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Wow. "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it had been said, I shall love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, verse 45 is the scripture that I really want you to take a look at. "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So you do all this as evidence that you're Christ's child. Now, we know what the new birth consists of. It consists of being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And if you ask a spirit-filled person, what is the evidence of being a child of God, most spirit-filled people would tell you about their new birth. But if you were to ask Jesus Christ, what is the evidence of a spirit-filled person, he would probably say, there is a way that you can prove that you are of your children. You are of your Father which is in heaven. What does he do? He maketh it to rain on the just and the unjust. He maketh sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Now this is pretty hard to follow, because when you read it and you're in church like this and I'm behind the pulpit, it sounds so simple because it's so clear, it's so plain. Let me tell you something. We don't stay in church all the time. We go out in the world, and when we go out in the world, it's not easy. It's not easy to follow this. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8, he said, ye are of your father the devil because you do the works of the devil. That's what he told the Pharisees. So, if you want to know if you're a child of God, you do what Jesus told you to do. Now, all of the law and the prophets, this law and the law of the Old Testament, they all hang on loving the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. In other words, if you really love someone, you're not going to sit around and conjure up ways to get even with them. If you really love God, when you come to the house of the Lord, nobody has to coerce you into worshiping God. You just worship God because you love Him. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, I believe, is the character of God. In Galatians 5:22, if you will turn there with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I've studied this scripture very carefully, and as far as I can see, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. See, John says that God is love. Now, He's more than love, but He is predominantly love. So if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, and you take a look at the scripture, now the word charity in the King James Version is used, but I'm going to translate it to love because that's what it means. In the fourth verse, the Bible says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Now, if you want to know if this is actually the character of God, just put the word Jesus there. Put His name there. So verse 4, Jesus suffered long. Jesus was kind. Jesus envied not. Jesus vaunted not Himself. He was not puffed up. He did not behave Himself unseemly. He sought not His own. He was not easily provoked. He thought no evil. He rejoiced not in iniquity, but rejoiced in truth. He bore all things. He believed all things. He hoped all things. He endured all things. Jesus never failed. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Now, if you want to know how close that you come to being like Him, you put your name there. Okay, my name is John, so we'll put my name there. You put your name there. John suffers long. John is kind. John envies not. John vaunteth not himself. He is not puffed up. He doth not behave himself unseemly. He seeks not his own. He is not easily provoked. He thinketh no evil. He rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. He bears all things, He believes all things, He hopes all things, He endures all things. John never fails. Now, I got to tell you, when I read this like that, I've got to get on my knees and search my heart, because there's a few things there that I have trouble with. Seriously. But you see, if you really love God, then everything hinges around that. Everything hangs from that. So you don't have any trouble with any of the commandments of God if you really love. Love is the key. 1 Corinthians 12, there's spiritual gifts there. 1 Corinthians 14, there are regulations on spiritual gifts. But 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible, sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians 12, where spiritual gifts are mentioned, 1 Corinthians 14 is 1 Corinthians 13. That simply means that if you're going to be exercising spiritual gifts, make sure that your heart is full of love. Make sure that your heart is full of love. Now, in our day, and I must hasten on here, in our day, there's so much negativity. There's so much anger. Matthew 24, 7 through 11, and we'll just not go there, but what I'll do is just mention a few things. Jesus gives us signs for the last days. And what he says is that men should be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. He speaks of hate. And then he mentions one thing. He says that because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. You think about our world now. Think about the present condition in the Mideast. Did you know we could be in a full-scale war over there? And the last battle to be fought is the Battle of Armageddon. It takes place right over there. Now you think about Iraq. We went over there. Soldiers died. We pulled our men out and tried to set up a government, and now it's falling apart. And then there's war in Syria. There's war in Turkey. There's war in Iran. There's war in Afghanistan. How many people were bombed in France? Is that 128, was it? And I don't know how many people were injured. You think about it. Now, why all the killing? Why can't everybody just go home and be happy? I can never understand that. Why can't they just shut up and go home and be happy? Just every nation. No, they want to fight. And you think about our own nation. You think about how many people walk into school buildings with loaded guns and just mow people down. You think about how many go into fast food restaurants and places like that, just mow people down. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall grow cold. So one of the greatest signs concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the condition of the heart of people. So what do we want to do with our children? Derek and Julie, what do you want to do with your boys? You want to raise them in an atmosphere of love so they're not negative. So they're not hating the neighbor's kids. That's what you want to do. And that's pretty tough sometimes because some neighbor's kids can be real tough on your own. But you want to raise them to fear the Lord. It is so, so necessary. Your house must be a haven of love and rest for each member. House full of happy campers. A house full of happy campers. And we've come to the part of dedication, of one child. The other one's already been dedicated. So what I'd like for you to do I'd like for you to stand. And I'd like for Derek and Julie to come to the front. And I'd like for Derek and Julie's family and friends to come and join directly behind them. Pastor Roy is going to come over, and he's going to take this son, his precious son. Oh, what handsome boys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If it be your intent, Derek and Julie, to dedicate your son, just reach out and lay your hands on him. Would you do that? Now I want to pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We thank you, God, for all that you have done. And I pray, God, that you keep your hand upon this son long as he lives, God. Grant to him health, and may Derek and Julie create an atmosphere of love and peace in the home, oh God. But let us remember that this is not Derek and Julie's child, really. It belongs to you. They're stewards. And you have loaned him to them. And I pray, God, that they'll always remember this. So, Lord, in the presence of these family members, the witness of this crowd today, and all of the angels that look down, and your presence that's here, God, we dedicate this precious soul to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May he grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. May he love you as his parents love you. And God, until such a time that he walks down the aisle and gives his heart to you and is baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, keep your hand upon him. And then from that day on, keep your hand upon him until he walks into eternity to be in your presence forever. We pray, God, speed upon him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now what I want you to do, Pastor Roy is going to give the child back to his dad. Family members, reach out. Touch the one in front of you until we touch Derek and Julie, and we're going to dedicate them. God, we dedicate this father and this mother and this brother to you, O Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, let the glory of the Lord shine upon Derek and Julie. Bless them, O God. Oh, yes, Lord. Keep your hand upon them, O God. Now, they've dedicated their life to you. They've been born again, but we rededicate them today. And I pray in Jesus' name, God be with them as we dedicate them to you. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody lift your hands, would you, and praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Derek and Julie will go out in the lobby, and they'll be out there, so when you leave, you can come by and congratulate them. And they'll leave and go out there now if one of our ministers would come and lead them out there. Okay, Pastor Roy is going to do that. And I will conclude the service. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you know, Jesus is coming back soon. There's no doubt about it. And as I stated this morning, one of the great signs of the coming of the Lord is that the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity abounds. And we see that. That could even invade the ranks of our church. But let's keep love flowing. And if you've never given your heart to God, today is the day to do that. If you need prayer for your body because you're sick, come and stand over here. If you need some counsel and have some problems, come and stand right down in front. And if you need a fresh breath of God's life in you, won't you come and stand over here? Come on right now. Come on down. Oh, yes. That's it. Come on down. God bless these who are coming. And these who are sick that need a touch.